The unsung heroes of the Ebola crisis, the burial workers, are being honoured in London with an international humanitarian award. Nearly 4,000 people died in Sierra Leone alone, and 10 out of 12 of the country's regions are now free of the disease, thanks in large part to these specialist burial workers. With the deadly virus spreading through exposure to bodily fluids, traditional burial customs were putting lives at risk. Working with communities to educate and offer safe and respectful burial while putting their own lives at risk. Grace Carbo is managing the emergency response to Ebola in Sierra Leone's second biggest city, Bo. She is in London to accept the award on behalf of 800 specially trained workers. And I spoke to her to find out more about what they did.
What I had to do with my team in Sierra Leone was to step in and fill the gap to bury the Ebola victims and others in a safe and dignified manner. This involved working with communities to ensure that they understood why they shouldn't touch dead bodies, why they shouldn't wash dead bodies, and why they shouldn't care for the sick, so that by doing that, they'll be able to protect themselves and others. So we had to come in to do the safe and dignified burials, and also to work with social mobilization to engage communities and get them to understand the reason why they needed to stay safe.
And were you training burial workers, or had they just gone away? Was it not possible for the traditional people who did this job to actually do it?
Burial workers, we are trained. They go through training, and they are trained by the Ministry of Health representatives. And some of them are part of the traditional people. Burial teams are made up of people from all walks of life. And so when they come together, they are trained for safe and dignified burials. We couldn't let all those who were doing the burials to continue with the burials, because if they did, then the transmission rate could have increased, because they kept washing the bodies and touching the dead, and they were not protected. So when we came in with the safe and dignified aspect of the burials, we addressed those cultural issues and traditional practices that were barriers. In our culture, it is important to care for the sick and to also bury the dead in a dignified manner. Bodies must be washed, dressed, and invite people to have an elaborate ceremony. This, if we continued with that, could have really spread the virus in the communities. So we had to work with faith leaders, come together, and then sensitize the communities to know that they are now trained and qualified people who will do everything that you want to do, excluding washing the dead, but will also bury them in a dignified manner. That way, communities were able to understand that it was for the safety of everybody that we needed to have the burial teams who were trained to bury in a safe and dignified manner to do the burials.
Was it difficult to get that message through to people? Did you have resistance from people who said, well, we must do it in the traditional way, or we want to do it in the traditional way?
Before we took over, there were resistance from different communities, because then the Ministry of Health and Red Cross were doing safe and medical burials. But when we came with the aspect of the dignified burials and spoke to them and explained to them, we worked with faith leaders. These include imams and pastors who went back to their communities, bringing out scriptures that showed that there are times in the Holy Scriptures when people were not allowed to touch the dead, they were not allowed to touch the sick. And so it is not wrong to do it in our time. So these messages we gave out to the communities, and they understood it, asked their questions, and then we took over the burials. And it was easy. We also brought female members on board, because then there are no female members on the burial team. And traditionally, it is wrong to allow a man to dress a woman and get her buried. So when they saw that we had female members on our teams, and we were working closely with the religious leaders, and we were explaining to them the need to stay safe, they were able to accept. We didn't have much troubles around resistance anymore, because what we did first was to work with them and help them understand what we were doing was for everybody's good.
Did you have enough protective clothing?
Yes, we have enough protective clothing all over the country. In fact, my organization, World Vision, was able to supply personal protective equipment to all districts in Sierra Leone, all 12 districts, and we still continue to do that with the Ministry of Health in the district, at the district level.
It must, though, have been very scary. People must have been afraid to do this work, surely.
Yes, a lot of people were afraid, but we had people who volunteered, men and women who volunteered, who risked their life, their own health and their safety to bury people in a safe and dignified manner. And it's because of these heroes that I am in the UK to receive an award on their behalf.
We congratulate you. And
thank
I
you.
Also wonder if it isn't because of you that Sierra Leone is now 10 out of 12 districts have been declared Ebola-free. That must be tremendous news for you.
Yes, I will not take all the glory for that, no. But we did this together with other partners on board. We worked with them. And the aspect of the dignified barriers that we brought in contributed immensely to get Sierra Leone to where it is now.
That was the manager of the burial workers, Grace Carbo of World Vision.